Father God, we just praise you, Lord, for Nathan and the words of this morning. Lord, as he brings these words to us this morning, Lord, let us ponder on them. Let us receive them. Lord, let us expect those things. And Lord, just touch each and every one of you. Bless him right now.
Check. Yeah, there you go. Children, you're dismissed to Children's Church. Everybody else wants you to stand up. Stand up, and I want you to turn around. You ain't got to hug anybody, unless you want to. I want you to give them a high five. Give somebody a high five, low five, no five, some kind of five. God is awesome. God is awesome. I'm going to issue a challenge right now. And here is the challenge. From here to the first of the year, I want you every Sunday to try your best to bring a friend. If that friend keeps coming, bring another friend. Get them to bring a friend. I entice you, I ask you, and whoever brings the most people, and by December gets a brand new car. Those Hot Wheels go good on your manna. Yeah, I want everybody will next, and over the next few weeks, especially throughout the first year. You know, we always talk about it would be bigger if somebody would do something. Well, do something. We'd have more people in here. Somebody would go out and tell somebody. Are you telling somebody? So let's all get out there. And I like what Daniel just said, and I'm telling you what, I pray for it all the time, but I don't necessarily say it out loud, so I'm going to say it out loud. I didn't even think about it that way. God, I want to see revival. Revival. And when the revival comes, look, it's not going to be a set of meetings. It's going to be us, God, in here. So let's see a revival. God, I thank you for the revival. How many has ever been stressed out? You know, you can take stressed out and stretched out, and usually it's about the same thing. Okay, they're all about the same thing, stretched out and stressed out. We're going to finish our talk about stress. How many has felt stress lately? Family stress, job stress, relational stress. You just have not felt sufficient to meet all the needs in your life. How many has been there? Honestly, I really believe that every last one of us can raise our hand to that. Amen? Of course, it's all stressed up, nowhere to go, no place to go. Part two, this is the last next week. Next week, I'm not sure yet. There's two sermons boiling inside, and one of them has to do with revival, and that is Remember Lot's Wife. Okay, so the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about Lot's wife. And that famous last saying, Lot's famous last saying is he come out of Sodom and Gomorrah, said, check, honey, see if anybody's following us. Yeah, check, honey, and see. Amen. Amen. No, we'll talk with Lot's wife. We're also going to talk about, I'm trying to think of the word for it. I can't even think of the word right now, but it's got to do with fear and stewardship. So we got some stuff coming up here, some really stuff that gets right to you. Amen. It's not just everyday, so to speak. There's some heavy-duty stuff that's coming in. It's like now the heavy artillery's coming. So everybody ready for the heavy artillery? Amen. The Bible says if you just keep eating honey buns and sweet tarts, that's what you're going to be, a sweet tart honey bun. Amen. God says meat. God wants his people to have some meetings. So we got some steaks brewing out there, and they're getting ready to come up. Amen? All right, so here we're talking about stress. How many, again, you say I'm stressed out? If you've experienced any kind of stress in the last week, I want you to stand up and get your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Get your Bible there. Well, look at that. Everybody's experienced some kind of stress. I told this last Sunday night. Some of y'all weren't here to hear this, and this is an oldie but goldie. But a woman took her husband to the doctor's office. After his checkup, the doctor said, "Your husband is suffering from a very serious illness." The husband was hard of hearing and said, "What did he say?" She said, "He says you're sick." The doctor continued, "But there's hope. You just need to reduce the stress in his life. Each morning, give him a full breakfast. Always be pleasant, nice, and kind. For lunch and dinner, make him his favorite meals. Never argue with him, and always keep yourself looking as perfect as possible. Basically, cater to his every whim, or he won't make it." The hard of hearing husband said again, "What did he say?" She said, "He said you're going to die." Okay. Philippians chapter 4. We're talking about formula 44. Philippians chapter 4. Four things in Philippians chapter 4. Let's start with with verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God," wow, "the peace of God," not the peace of the world, "the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Praise the Lamb of God. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, that this day is your day, Lord. It's not my day. Lord, it's your day. I thank you, God, that you woke me up this morning. You didn't have to, but you did. I thank you, God, that you sent us here this morning. You didn't have to, but you did. I thank you, God, that this day is a powerful day. And we thank you for all the things you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for all the things you're going to do for us, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're in total, absolute, positively, without doubt, in control. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and meet every need in the name of Jesus. We love you. We praise your name. And the church said what? They said what? It said what? Amen. Praise the Lord. Get a little hand clap of praise and you can be seated. Yeah. Little Johnny was shopping with Grandma. And one of the things she tossed in the cart was a package of pantyhose. And he sounded out with the words, "Queen size." And he exclaimed, "Grandma, you wear the same size as our bed." You want some stress. Okay, last week I'm just going to just hit a few things from last week just so you can have some continuity. Stress. How many knows what stress is? Oh, you definitely know. Some of us got a firsthand experience. Amen. All right, how many's going under stress now? Amen. Amen. Mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual pressure that can initiate the fight or flight or freeze response. Remember that, the fight or freeze response. We talked about that last week, so I'm not going into it again. Stress is like an iceberg. You only see about 1/8 of what's really happening. That iceberg that hit, that the Titanic hit, on the top was not all that big, but on the bottom was massive, and it ripped right through the hull of the Titanic. Right now, some of us right now, we may be showing signs of stress, and we're showing just a little bit, or maybe more than a little bit, but down below is brewing something much bigger. It does not discriminate your age, race, religion, color, nothing of that. It does it. Now look, last week I put up this. I think it's stress. Watch this. Have you felt like that? You're burning the candle at both ends. Anybody ever burnt the candle at both ends? If you notice something about this candle is, he's lighting his own match. Y'all can laugh or cry or something. He's lighting his own match. You know what's going on? A lot of us bring a lot of our stress on, or lack of reducing the stress that we can't help but come on. We do it ourselves. Either we bring the stress on ourselves, or when the stress comes, we don't know how to handle it. And so just like this candle, we're lighting it, we're lighting both ends, and it is not fun. Now again, there's normal stress, day-to-day, part of life that motivates us. And then there's abnormal stress, which is job overload, a new job, all kinds of things of that nature, sickness. Then there's long-term stress, loss of a job, chronic sickness. Now, on 9/11, it was abnormal stress when the towers went down. Abnormal. When the gas prices started going up, it was abnormal. But now that it's been years and the gas prices are still high, way on up there high, and we look now, not only have they beheaded two Americans, ISIS, yesterday they beheaded a British worker. So now, all this, now the nation is going through something called long-term stress. We've got other stuff coming against us. They're talking about how we're going to handle the terrorists. They've even said this morning there's reports of ISIS being on the southern border of the United States of America. And it was perfect for them to come in now while we're having a border crisis. They're going to say, just let them all come in no matter what. Here they come. So again, here it is, long-term chronic stress. Maybe somebody's got a sickness that you had. You thought it was going to be a cold and it wound up being cancer. Or you thought something was wound up being a sore in your hand and it wound up being something much worse than a sore in your hand. Chronic stress is killing this nation. It's killing the churches. Now again, stress has a grip and it'll box you in. It will wear you down and it will choke you out. Now here, I want y'all to watch this now. I want to see if y'all are in this category. Ready? Let's get ready. Here's the characteristics of those that are prone to stress. Ready? You plan your day unrealistically. How many unrealistic? I mean, you say you plan to do the job of four people that one day. You're first to arrive and last to leave. You're always in a hurry. You make no plan for relaxation. You feel guilty about doing anything other than work. You see unforeseen problems as a setback or a disaster. You're always thinking about several other things when you're working, and you feel and the chronic stress prone feels the need to be recognized and overextends because of this. So here it is again, the stress syndrome. You know, rushing to work one day. Okay, let me just say, if you've got one of those, if you've got one, you're heading in the right direction. If you've got three or four, you're there. If you got all of them, come see me this week. We're going to have sessions right over there. Amen. And I'm going to be able to, the sick one leading the sick. Amen. Not the blind leading the blind. Amen. Rushing to work one day, a lady was driving too fast, and as a result, they pulled over, the highway patrol pulled them over. The state trooper noticed the woman's shirt she had in the name of a local high school on it. She said, "I teach math there." The trooper said, "Okay, here's the problem. A teacher is speeding down the highway at 16 miles an hour over the limit. At $12 for every mile plus $40 court costs plus a rise in her insurance, what's her total cost?" The teacher replied, "Taking that total, subtracting the low salary I receive, multiplied by the number of kids who hate math, and adding to it the fact that none of us would be anywhere without teachers, I say zero." He handed back her license and says, "Math was never my favorite subject." Please slow down. Stress. We're always stretched out. Here's another one. Look, again, I want you to watch this. Life songs. Now, if I'm ever counseling and you see me throw this on you, you're going to say, "I remember seeing that one day in church." All right, I want you to watch quickly. We're not going to take a long time. If I was to say which of these four songs reveals your attitude toward life, which would you say is the most one about how you think and how you live your life? Make the World Go Away, your attitude toward life. Make the World Go Away, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, I Did It My Way, or Oh, What a Beautiful Morning. Now, without anybody saying anything, My wife said, why don't you just tell them exactly what that means too? So I thought I would go ahead and I'll tell you a little bit about what that means. If your attitude toward life is make the world go away, you are either overwhelmed or about to be overwhelmed. This can change. All these can change. They can change from day to day. They can change from moment to moment. But right now, if it was make the world go away, you are overwhelmed. All right? Or easily overwhelmed. And you feel crowded. If it's raindrops keep falling on my head, you're having heavy troubles and it seems like you can't get out of them. If you say I did it my way, then usually that's somebody that's decisive and one-sided, and you can actually even say hard-headed. Then, oh, what a beautiful morning. They're expecting and they're joyful. If you chose 1 through 3, you are under a lot of stress. Wow. 1 through 3, you are under a lot of stress. Somebody said that, and now you got the song stuck in your head all day long. You're going, raindrops keep falling on my head. Amen. So now here's the symptoms, and then we're going to jump right into the sermon. Symptoms of the stress overload. Decision making becomes difficult. Excessive daydreaming or fantasizing about getting away from it all. Increased use of cigarettes or alcohol. Increased use of tranquilizers and uppers. Thoughts trail off while speaking. Thoughts. Squirrel. Thoughts trail off while speaking and writing. Excessive worrying about all things. Sudden outburst of temper and hostility. Paranoid. Who is looking out there? Paranoid ideas and mistrust of friends and family. Forgetfulness for appointments, deadlines, and dates. Forget frequent spells of brooding or feeling inadequate. And reversals in usual behavior. Now, has anybody ever told you that might be you? Or can you say, I don't understand. I'm really not acting like myself today. Guess what? You may be in stress overload. Now, some of this stuff you bring on yourself, some of the stuff you don't bring on yourself, but you have to know how to effectively handle it so that you can keep it away as much as possible. Here's what you do. Number one, recognize. Here's what I need you to do. Remember, write this down. Recognize what can be changed and what can't be changed. What can be changed and what can't be changed. If I can change it, then I need to ask God to give me wisdom to change it. If it can't be changed, God give me wisdom to handle it. The serenity prayer. Then identify. Identify your own emotional needs. What is stressing you out? And then figure out, find ways to meet them. Watch this. Rest, relax, recharge. Y'all remember that. Rest, relax, recharge. Rest, relax, recharge. Rest is different from relaxing. Rest just means you might have put down the pencil. But relaxing means, I don't know if you put down the pencil. Relaxing means now you've stepped away from the paper. Rest, relax, recharge. So you recognize, you identify. Thirdly, here's my hard one. Learn to just listen. Keep your mouth. Remember going around Jericho for 6 days? God told Joshua to tell everybody to keep their mouth shut. All right. It's more relaxing than talking. And then practice the 4 steps found in Philippians 4. Formula 44. How many remember taking Formula 44 when you were a little child? I don't know if they even still make it or not. But Formula 44 was some good stuff. Obviously, it must not be too good of stuff because some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. All right. It's right on the side. It's right down the shelf right next to the K-Row syrup and the kerosene. All those old remedies. All right. So here we go. Here's the 4 things. Formula 44, 4 things. I'm going to try to go through it pretty quick. And we're going to have a different kind of altar call today, too. I want you to know that. All is going to be different. All right, get ready. Number one, worry. Step number one, worry about nothing. I knew y'all were going to say that. I was waiting to hear that. Easier said than done. I knew that's what I said. I said the same thing. Every time I read that scripture, I say, Paul, were you living on possum track? But Paul wrote that. How many know what Paul was doing when he wrote that? He was up in a great big hotel up in the very top. He just drove his limo in there, flew in with his private jet, had his limo, take him up to the lot. He had 10 bodyguards. They set him up there. and he was setting up in the penthouse. He was in the bottom of a dungeon waiting to have his head cut off. He could have died at any moment. He was hated. Everywhere Paul went, he did R&R everywhere he went. R&R, he started revival and he started riots. Everywhere he went. And so here he is, he's in jail, he's getting ready to die. That kind of puts a whole different twist on it. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, you got to talk to the Lord. Paul is saying that worry should never be a part of our lives. You say, it's a whole lot easier said than done. I've said that 100 times this morning. Worry should never be a part of our lives. You know that worry kills joy and it's a major source of stress in our lives? How many know that? You know what I see is they did a psychological survey some years back, and here's what they found out in a psychological survey. 40% of our worries never happen. 30% of our worries concern the past. Again, you can do nothing about. 12% of our worries are needless worries about your health. 10% of our worries are insignificant or petty concerns. 8% of our worries are really legitimate concern. Wow. So watch. Watch this out. How many know this? If I say, get out your wallet, how much is worry worth? Well, the doctor thinks it's great. Matter of fact, the doctor and over there in Greenville at that big old Pitt Heart Institution, they love it. They tell you not to worry, but then you go in because you worry, not to give you the bill, you worry more. Worry is worthless. Say it with me. Worry is worthless. One more time, say it with me. Worry is worthless. You see, I cannot change the past, or it cannot change the past. Worry, you can worry all day long about something you did. You know, I remember when I was about 4 years old. It worried me until I gave my heart to the Lord and he helped me out of it. I'm talking about when I actually really got serious about the Lord and understood the whole thing. When I was about 4 years old, I was in, Daddy worked in a grocery store. Mama and all them were, Mama was checking out at Scott's Supermarket in Washington. And I saw a little Tootsie Roll, and I said, you know what? That looks good. And I took that little Tootsie Roll, and I looked all around. And I said, okay. And it nagged me, and it nagged me, and it nagged me. Of course, I went and put money up on the counter, just up there, paid for my Tootsie Roll later. But it nagged me, and it nagged me. Because I would even get to preach. And I was getting ready, I was a mature Christian. And as I was getting ready to at least speak or play the bass or get up and do a devotion, or as I was moving toward preaching, I would think about that Tootsie Roll I stole at 4 years old. What could I do at 21 about that Tootsie Roll I stole at 4? I went back and made restitution. I put the money down. I even told somebody later I had done it. So what more could I do? But it worried me and it worried me and it worried me until finally the Lord said, son, everybody's forgive you but you. You made restitution, now drop it. And so I'm bringing it back up today. I'll probably go home not thinking, did I? Oh. No, I'm fine with it now. All right, so what I'm trying to tell you is that watch this now, watch. Worry cannot change the past or control the future. All worry does is mess up right now. That's it. All your worry does is mess up your right now. I'm not talking about concern. I'm not talking about healthy concern. I'm not talking about when you have to try to figure things out. You're trying to figure out how to make the bills work, how to make the money stretch, all of that. That's healthy concern. You got a child that's sick. You got a job to be done. That's healthy stress. That's cool. I'm talking about worry. And we're going to talk about where he is. Now watch. Worry uses up an incredible amount of energy. Did you know that? It sits there and it burns and it burns and it burns and it burns. And when we worry about things, it makes them bigger than they actually are. Did you know that? So now, let's watch this now. Go ahead. Here's the scripture. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Matthew 6, 26, all the way through. Matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and read it all to you. Therefore, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall put on. For is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by added thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? In other words, how can you make yourself taller, or how can you make your life last any longer? Well, one thing to make your life last longer is to quit worrying. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he much more clothe you, ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. That's not saying don't look after this stuff. What it's saying is, though, don't worry about this stuff. There's a difference. You can be concerned, but don't be worried, because God's got you back. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Again, I say him not be concerned. Don't walk around like a Pollyanna. Be concerned about things. That's called being mature. But not worry about them, which is actually going to stump you down. Look, watch this. Worry is to have no place in our lives. That's what he's saying. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. So now watch this. Watch. So number one, stop. Watch. Step one, worry about what? It's okay to be concerned. Worry is different. We're going to go through, as the time goes by, we'll go ahead and show you exactly what worry does. All right? Number two, pray about, amen. You know, I go around and I just go, I've been trying to, you know, I'm looking through the Christian bookstore and I'm saying, God, show me the right Bible to look for. Show me the right study material to go for. Lord, even show me the right gas station. Just show me, God, show me what I need to be doing. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Get ready. Don't put that oven up yet. Don't put it up. How many in here lately have told yourself, that was stupid? How many here lately have said, boy, that, about somebody else going, he sure did a stupid thing? How many in here said, well, I reckon I must not be much good if I can't do any better than that? How many here might have said, he ain't much good if he can't do better than that? Guess what? That's negative self-talk. Self-talk goes on in every person in here. There's not a person here that does not have self-talk. You're always talking to yourself. You're always talking what's going on in your life. People that are atheists, they claim they're not talking to God. They're just talking to themselves. I do want to know one thing. Can an atheist on their insurance statement claim an act of God? Okay. Squirrel. All right. And also, watch this. I know. How about that? Yeah, I know what I'd do. I tell you what I'd do if it was me. like the guy riding down the road, two guys riding down the road, and they're riding through a small town, and a little old deputy like Barney Fife comes up and knocks on the, puts his light on, slows him down, and stops him and taps on the window. And the guy looks at him. When the guy looks at him, he says, can I help you, sir? What can I do? He holds up his license. He slapped him good and hard and said, boy, give me them licenses when I roll down that window. Roll down that window, give me the license. This is my town. You don't speed in my town. He said, well, yes, sir. He said, yep. He said, slow down next time you're in this town. You hear me? This is my town. And slapped him again and gave him back his license. Before the guy could roll off, he went around the other side and tapped on the window. The boy rolled down the window and he slapped him. But the guy said, what did I do? He said, I'm just making your day. He says, "Why me?" He says, "You get about a mile down the road, look at your friend, and say, 'I wish you'd have done that to me.'" I like what Daniel told me. He told somebody one time and said, "You're trying to meet your quota." Daniel said, "Yeah, two more tickets, I get a toaster." Amen. All right. So watch. This right here. I tell you what I do. I know what we need to do. You know what happens? You get so caught up in negative. The Bible didn't say how to handle situations that way. The Bible said pray about everything. If you want something positive to happen in your life, start out by talking to God. Talk to Him. Tell Him what's going on. Something positive. God, you're awesome. You're God. You see this. You know this. God, you got this all under control. It's all in your hands. Father, I trust you, Lord, with every part of my life. I know, God, that you're going to handle it. I have no doubt, no fear that you're going to handle this. Lord, give me wisdom to handle this situation. You know, your life, even right then, the stress level begins to change immediately. Amen? So now, watch this. Paul's saying, don't worry, but pray. Don't panic, but praise and pray. You know, watch this. Oh, here's a good one. I heard people say they didn't have time to pray. You ever heard that? I didn't have time to pray. Okay. My question is, let it rip. Do you have time to worry? Oh, come on. That right there, should, that's a shouter right there. I don't have time to pray, but you got time to worry. So if you got time to worry about it, you got time to pray about it. Amen? Now, when we're through, some of y'all worried that I'm not going to get through with this thing. Get ready. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Listen, your prayers don't have to be long. You ain't got to fall down to all these Elizabethan words and these long words that you come up with all these long words, and as you come up with long words, the angels are watching, they're trying to record, they're going, "What did he say? Huh?" Like I was trying to explain something to my wife last night. I was trying to tell her to pull over, and I was trying to explain pull over in that little loop in there that's on the side of the highway now. And all I gave it all kinds of names. I made up names. I had her laughing so hard that by the time we went on home, we didn't even stop. She just laughing. She said, "I can't even stop now." I mean, just kept on going. Look, prayer is a way to release pressure. Counseling, you go to counselors, you know what they do? They actually listen. They start out by listening, and then they try to help you work out your own problem. But what it does is it releases pressure. 99% of the time when somebody comes in to be counseled, when they leave, they tell me, "Whew, I feel so much better. I feel so much better." I've had people come in taking the blame. They had the blame because somebody in their family died, and they took the blame for it. And I found, I said, "Well, how are you to blame for it?" And they said, "Well, if I had just done this and this and this and this." And I go, "Well, tell me how you could have done this, this, and this." And they go, "Well, I couldn't have." I said, "Well, then why in the world are you blaming yourself for something you had no control over whatsoever?" And the guy didn't think about it that way. And they go out and go, "Whew, man, I feel better." What did we do? Just told her it weren't. Don't quit blaming yourself. All right. So prayer is a way to release pressure. A life insurance company, this is true, a life insurance company did a study, and they learned that people who attend church once a week live an average of 5.7 years longer than the general public. 5.7 years longer. You wind up like Brother Billy. Brother Billy has lived a long, healthy life. Amen. That's Sister Dorothy. That's right. Worry destroys your health. Think about it. I can get started thinking about something. I can tell when it's worry. You know why I can tell when it's worry? Because it'll start getting heartburn. Or I start finding myself, that's all I can think about all the time. Next thing I know, I'm worrying. You know, there's no problem too big for God's power or too small for God's concern. Number three, Form 44, number three. Come on, be. One more time, be. How many, have you ever noticed somebody that's not thankful? Hey, I actually don't want to do anything for them anymore because they're not thankful about it. They act like that you're obligated to do something for them all the time, and it just tears my nerves up. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In every situation, let God know what you need in prayers and requests while giving thanks. You see, God wants us to be thankful, wants us to have an attitude of gratitude. Thanksgiving is, and you know, thanksgiving itself is the purest form of faith. So when you're praying to God about something, while you're praying, you thank Him. God, I thank You that You hear my prayers. And God, I thank You that You can take care of this. And God, I thank You that that it's already taken care of and that the check's in the mail. I thank You, God. That's saying, God, I believe the healthiest human emotion is the attitude of gratitude. Have you ever seen somebody a lot of times that just seems unhappy all the time? Usually somebody's unhappy all the time is somebody that's usually an unthankful person. All right? Now watch this. I love this. Is my favorite scripture. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, next to John 3:16. A joyful heart is a good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. God wants us to be full of joy. It's like medicine for our soul. Develop an attitude of gratitude and see how it affects your stress level. And everything, give thanks. I can't tell it enough. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You ain't got to thank Him for everything, but in everything, thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. When you're thanking God for what He's done, you are actually praising Him. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. And then number four. Here is the hardest one of all. Here's one I work on every day of my life. And when I find myself veering off of number four, the first three kind of go to the curb. And I find myself stressed out. Number four, change the way you think. Change the way you think. Here's Paul getting ready to lose his head. Here's Paul, who knows that he has not much time left on this earth. He's giving these instructions. He's not saying, y'all pray for me because the devil's trying to attack and cut off my head. I used to sometimes hate, like the Dickens, to say, anybody got a testimony? Because I hear somebody get them go, here's the testimony. Y'all pray for me that I keep holding on. Well, that just got me so fired up, I'm ready to worship God all over the place. Y'all pray for me because I don't think I can make it much longer. The devil's all over me. Well, why don't you just get up and get everybody excited? Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, glad yourselves in Him. Again, I say rejoice. Look up. Change the way you think. In order to change the way you think, first you got to change where you're looking. Look up. We got our eyes so concentrated on the problem, we can't rejoice. We got our eyes so concentrated on everybody else, we can't rejoice. We got our eyes so concentrated on all the things that's happening and in the worry that we forget that God sees it too. So number one, if you're going to change the way you think, look up. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. Look up. Look at somebody and tell them to look up. Praise God. You want to have some fun getting the elevator and start looking up. Over in the Heart Center, the elevator in the Heart Center doesn't have a third floor. That's because it's maintenance. Every time I get in the elevator, I can't stand it. They say, what elevator? So I say three. And they go, sir, I don't see a three in here. Well, what's even more fun is to go over to the other hospital over next door, and there's only three floors, and say, push six. I said one day to the lady, I said, push six. But she was really having a hard time, and her daughter was there with her, and I said, six, please, and she went. Sir, there's only three floors. I said, well, only three. If I said, well, push three twice, and she went. And her daughter said, Mom. And she wanted to say, thank you so much. I've had such a hard day. Thank you for doing that. Praise God. I even got there with my dad when my mom was in the hospital. I was with my dad one day. I said, Dad, we got in the elevator. I said, Dad, is this the one that fell last week? And Dad said, son, stop doing that. And I get there and say, Dad, is this the one that fell last week? He said, I told you, son, stop doing that. So I said, okay, I'll listen to my dad. I respect his opinion. So I get in there. I don't say anything. I'm going down. I'm trying to be quiet. My dad looks at me and says, is this the one that fell last week? Look out! Number two, oh, here's a hard one. If you're going to change the way you think, let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness and your considerateness and your forbearing spirit. Number one, look up if you're going to change the way you think. Number two, show up. How's anybody going to know anything about you if they never see you? How can I trust you if I never see you? How can I know that you got my back if I never see you? Show up. Look up. God, I'm watching. I'm looking at you. I'm rejoicing in you, God. I want to change the way I think. I'm going to start looking at you first. Once I look at you first, everything else looks different. Number two, I'm going to show up. I want people to see that I'm looking up. I want people to know that I've got their back. I want people to know. Show up. Number three. It is good stuff. Y'all really said, yeah, y'all said it like, how many enjoyed that root canal? All do. Number three. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Stand up. Look up. Show up. And stand up. What do I mean by stand up? Quit letting the devil play mind games with you. He will twist stuff around. He will try his best to mess you up. He'll have you thinking all kinds of things. Have you thinking people thinking about you? It's like that one guy couldn't even. The guy thought everybody was always talking about him. He couldn't even go to a football game because every time he went to a football game, his nerves were tore up because every time the teams had a huddle, he thought they were talking about him. Okay, squirrel. All right. Stand up. I don't have to get involved in the negative talk. So I must talk negative. You got to find somebody else because my ear's not a trash can. I serve an almighty God. I'm not going to let the devil keep trying to put stupid junk in my head. I get to decide what I think about, not Satan and not the world. I get to decide. Tell somebody, look, don't you look down. Don't look at anybody else, please. And say, Satan, I get to decide what I think about. I get to decide, not you, not the world. Look up, show up, and then stand up. You see, biblical meditation, here it is. Here we're going to talk about worry and meditation. I was getting to the end now. Y'all were getting worried about this thing, but here it is. Biblical meditation is nothing more than focused thinking. All right? It's focused thinking. To attend to carefully, to examine from one direction, turn it and examine it again. So watch this. If you're good at worry, how many here are good at worry? Oh, you can raise your hand. We're all friends. If you're good at worrying, guess what? You're good at meditation. Did you know that? Worrying is just negative meditation. You're thinking about the same thing over and over and over again and figure out, well, Lord, I wish I hadn't done it. Lord, I wish I hadn't done it. Lord, I wish I hadn't done it. Boy, I really was stupid to do that. Man, I wish I hadn't done that. Man, I was stupid to do that. Lord, if I could go back and do it again, I would, but I can't. So I'm sitting here, and I'm just stupid. You just done some negative meditation. Worry equals negative meditation. Positive meditation is, yes, I've done it, Lord, but you forgive me. You show me a better way. If I get a chance to do it again, I'm going to do it a different way. I'm not going to fall for that same junk again. Thank you, God, that you're awesome. And I'm going to drop it right now and move forward. Meditation. You see, if you want to reduce strength or stress in your life, change the way you think. You can choose it. You can choose it. All right? You can choose the right things. What dominates your thinking? What does your mind think about the most? Are they negative or are they positive? The Bible tells us. Come on, fellas, let's get ready to go. We're going to do something different for altar call this morning. Something entirely different for altar call this morning. Something entirely different. The Bible tells us to think on those things which gives God honor. I had all kinds of stuff here ready to go for altar call, and the Lord just spoke to me this morning and said, nope, here's what I want them to do. I want some good old, like what they say up here in practice, Church of God stuff, some good old praise and worship stuff. And I want to see us just stand up and worship. Because you know what? You can't worry and worship at the same time. You cannot worry and worship at the same time. You cannot worry and worship at the same time. Somebody help me out here. You cannot worry and worship at the same time. You cannot worry and worship at the same time. Come on, one more time. You cannot worry and worship at the same time. Next time you're tempted to worry, I want you to worship. The next time you feel that burden coming on you to worry, I want you to worship. You hear me? I want y'all to just throw down. Just throw down something. I want everybody to stand up. And if you don't know the words, just hum. If you can't do anything else, I want you to pray, clap them hands. But we're going to have an altar call, but we're going to have an altar call a whole lot different. We're going to have an altar call different this time. I want everybody to worship God. If you got a problem, I want you to come here, but when you stand here, I don't want you to pray until you've worked.